Good morning. As you may know, the NCAA basketball tournament is held every year during the month of March. 68 teams are selected, and they all hope to make it through the tournament to the Final Four. Those Final Four teams play for the national championship during the last weekend of the tournament. This tournament every year is known as March Madness, the road to the Final Four. Here at Pleasant Valley South, we're having a church-wide Sunday school promotion event during the month of March. We're calling this promotion March Gladness, the Road to 400. Our goal is to average over 400 in attendance during the entire month of March. Our scripture verse is Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Each Sunday in March has a special name or designation. I'd like to go over them with you this morning very quickly. These designations are to help us to reach our goal. The first Sunday in March, March 3rd, is known as Full Court Press Sunday. That day, we would like anybody and everybody to be in a Sunday school class that day. Now, if you're here today for the very first time or you're not in school at this time, we would encourage you to find a class, to try out some classes, and pick a class to go to on that first day. But we would just like to have everyone in a class on that day. March 10th is known as One-on-One Sunday. If you're in a Sunday school class, we're asking everybody in a class to invite a friend, a relative, or a co-worker, or a neighbor, and bring them to Sunday school with you on that day. The third Sunday in March is known as Alley-Oop Sunday. On that day, each class will be doing something different, something new and different, something outside the box. So I encourage you to definitely be here on that Sunday to see what they have in store for you on that day. March 24th is known as Free Throw Sunday. On that day, every person in a Sunday school class, whether it be children's Sunday school, youth, or adult, will receive a free Chick-fil-A gift card. And then the fifth Sunday, March 31st, is known as Overtime Sunday. We're asking each class on that fifth Sunday to strive to get more in their class on that day than they've had in the previous four Sundays during the month of March. That's a brief overview of our Sunday school promotion, this Sunday school event, but I want to leave you with a quote. You know, it's been said that talent wins games, but teamwork wins championships. Let's all work together. Let's all serve together. Let's all do our part to be successful in this Sunday school event, to reach our goal. Let's all be faithful in our attendance during the month of March. And if we're already in Sunday school, let's invite others to be a part of Sunday school and join us in a Sunday school class. And I believe if we all strive to work together, if we all play to win, that God will bless our efforts. You'll be hearing more about our Sunday school promotion in the days and weeks ahead, but I hope you'll get excited about it, and let's see what God does, all right? Thank you.
Good. All right. Thank you, Ted. Ted is a retired federal probation officer. The first Sunday in April is Warrant Sunday, so if you don't come during March, you will be arrested and brought in on a rainy Sunday morning. Well, saying yes to the Word of God, turn with me to James chapter 1. Verse 21 through 27. James chapter 1, verse 21 through 27. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. That's what's taught in the Word of God. But I want you to know that our salvation is experienced in three tenses: past, present, and future. Once you have been saved, that means you've trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. The Holy Spirit's taken up residence in you. You've been converted. You've been born again. Then you can say this while you're living in this world: I am being saved. And then when we talk about dying, or either the rapture and going to heaven, that means I shall be saved. Now, notice three tenses. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I have been saved. I have been saved from what? The penalty of sin. That means that now I will never experience hell. That was taken care of point in time when I asked Jesus into my heart. He paid that price on Calvary with his blood. And then we talk about the possibility here of never going to hell, not going to hell. We know that's 101% sure. Then we think about, I am being saved. I am being saved. We're talking about there the power of sin in our life. In other words, while we're here, there's supposed to be the sanctification process that's taking place. We're not going to live a perfect life here. Well, if we're led of the Spirit and then we're molded and shaped by the Word of God, we're being made to be more like Christ. And then we talk about future tense. I shall be saved. That's talk about going into heaven and removed from the presence of sin. So when we look at James and look at verse 21, what he's talking about here when he says, and the word of God is able to save our soul, he's referring to Christians being saved from the power and the dominion of sin here in this life. James says, you must learn to welcome the Word of God if you're going to overcome temptation in this life. Now, there are two words in the Greek text that refer to welcome or receive. One of them means to take out of something and graft it upon yourself. That's not the word here. This is a word that means that it is grafted into your heart. Something that is welcome. It's like a friend that you welcome into your heart. He says that's the way we ought to see the Word of God. My dad worked for Bell South, and those of you old-timers, it was called Southern Bell. The new folks around here call it AT&T. He worked for them for 42 and a half years. 15 years into his employment, there was a huge strike. There was a contract dispute. Well, Dad had three hungry mouths to feed and a wife to keep up. So here's what he did. The union paid them $50 a week. And the company paid them nothing while they were out on strike. So my dad one day went out looking for a job, and he met a man named Ware Norris. Mr. Norris owned a sawmill. Mr. Norris hired my dad, and Dad worked there for months and months until the contract dispute was settled. And then Dad went back to work for the phone company. But here's what I remember. My dad and my mom treated like Ware and Betty Norris like they were brothers and sisters. Every Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, for probably 30 or 35 years, Mom and Dad invited Ware and Betty over to the house for a meal. They'd make sure all the children were there, that we welcomed them like they were our uncle and aunt. We thought they were relatives. And one thing I noticed about my dad, he did not have disposable relationships like people do today. People call you now and want you to do a favor for them, whether it's get them a job or a promotion or a good deal on an automobile, and then they ditch you down the road. Anybody ever experienced that yet? Well, Dad never forgot who helped him in an economic difficult time and helped put food on his table. Mom and Dad were close friends with the Norrises until they died. And I want you to know, when they come over, anytime Ware and Betty Norris came over, we welcomed them with all of our heart into our home. That's what the word receive here means concerning the Word of God. First thing, I want you to write this down. How do we receive the Word of God? We need to receive the Word of God with a repentant heart. Look at verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. When Delaney and I served in our first two churches, she decided on several different occasions to have a Christmas open house. We'd do that on a Sunday afternoon. She would invite the whole church to our house. Now, Delaney's just like her mom. She keeps a clean home, and I appreciate that so much. She keeps things organized, but I want to tell you this. On that Saturday, before the whole church came over to see our whole house and eat with us, that house wasn't livable. It was so clean. She'd vacuum the curtains and the blinds, and she found change in the couch and everything else under the couch. Everything was just absolutely perfect. And we had some of the finest food you'll ever eat. Now, we decided it was probably a bad idea to do this when we found some of the children going through our dresser drawers in our bedrooms. We thought this is probably not a good idea anymore. But what I want you to know is before people came, everything was absolutely clean and we were ready for guests. The Bible is saying, this passage of Scripture says, learn to welcome the Word of God like you would a friend with repentance. In other words, do some house cleaning in your heart. Confess to the Lord that which is sin in your life. You say, well, where's that in this, preacher? Look at verse 21. He says, lay apart all filthiness. That Greek word there means wax. It's talking about wax in your ears. I hope you clean your ears. I'm not going to check, but I hope you do. You know, sometimes you can get wax clogged in your ears and you have to go to the doctor and have it flushed out. And while it's in there, you just don't hear very well. Many people live like that. Why don't you hear spiritually? Because there's some sin in our life that's plugged up our spiritual ears to hear what the Word of God is trying to tell us. God's trying to tell us what we need to do as a Christian, but we can't hear what God's trying to tell us. The very thing that's causing the problem is in your ear. And so the Bible says we need repentance. We need to turn away from filthiness, things that are clogging up our ears. Look back at verse 21 again. And he says here, the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. That word evil there is talking about some sins left over from our old nature before we were born again. You know, some people keep student debt in their lives. They treat it like it's a family member. They never get a plan where we're going to retire this debt as soon as possible. It's just part of the family. Sometimes people treat certain sins in their life like it's part of the family, and we just keep it there. And he says, listen, what that is, he said, that is an old nature hangover, some things you brought into your new nature, your new life, that he says you need to put aside. You say, well, preacher, you know, I got some things in my life that are just little sins. They're just not that bad. Listen, there are no little sins with God. The things that we consider just little sins are just little cracks in a door that open up to be things that can absolutely ruin your life. That's how a Christian comes to his downfall. You take a person who is a people person and they're very flirtatious, and they carry that personality to work. And you don't mean anything by it, but you compliment this person, and you're just a little over the line, and all of a sudden there's maybe you a guy, and the lady is having problems at home, and she just bitter at her husband, and you don't see this as being a problem with your personality, and the next thing you know, this lady just needs a little attention, and you're caught in the trap. He says, I want you to be careful about carrying things over from your old nature, about sin in your life. He says you need to turn away from it if you're going to receive the full message of the Word of God. Notice what else. Receive the Word with readiness. Look at verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that's so prevalent. And here's what he says. Humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Now that word engrafted there means implanted. The living word, the word of God's alive. We're to receive it, he says, with meekness. Years ago, I was studying the Old Testament. I wondered, why in the world did God choose Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage? The Bible says that he didn't speak well. He had some other characteristics there that didn't look like leadership material. When you read a little further over, there's one little sentence that says this: Moses was the meekest man in the land. Now, ladies and gentlemen, meekness in Scripture is not weakness. That means a person who has a very teachable, humble spirit. The word meek literally means that a horse which has been tamed. You know, somebody who treats horses properly. They can take a horse that's never been ridden, and they can shape the will of that house. They don't beat the horse. What they do is they try to break that horse. They don't cripple that horse. They train that horse so that horse will do anything that trainer wants him to do. And that's what God wants to do with us. He just wants us to have a meek spirit. That's why the Bible says, receive with meekness this engrafted word which is able to save your soul. You've got to be ready to do what the word says you're to do, or you're going to never learn this book. Now notice here, he says it's the word of God. And he says, really in essence, you can't pick and choose what applies to you and what doesn't apply to you. I remember we were having a battle in the Southern Baptist and Georgia Baptist Convention. We had the CBF, the liberals, who said that all the word of God is not inspired, infallible, and inerrant. And then they would take certain scriptures and say, this is inspired, but over here that's not inspired. That just doesn't apply to us. What gives you the right to do that with the Word of God? Look at the last few verses in the book of Revelation. Whoever adds or takes away from the Word of God shall what? Be judged. That's dangerous. So we look at this and say, well, that just doesn't apply to me. Sometimes somebody will come to me and they'll say, well, Pastor, don't you know I found Mr. Stud Muffet. And he's found his angel. He said, Pastor, we just moved in together. I said, really? Yeah, we did that. I said, well, are you born again? Oh, yeah, we're both saved. I said, we're going to go over here and look at what Scripture says about living together outside of wedlock. You go and show that to them. They say, "But now, Pastor, God understands." I get amused by this. Y'all ought to be glad for all the humor that I hold back. And so I just listen. And usually I say, you know, just economically, it's just best if we live together right now and just not get married. I say, really? Over here in the Word of God, that's just not what it says here. And it talks about adultery, talks about sex outside of marriage, and you're telling me that you're an exception to this because God understands. Listen to me. We're to receive the Word, repentant spirit, with a meek spirit. This is not a cafeteria where you pick and choose what applies to you. It's broad spectrum. It applies to all of us. Welcome the Word of God with repentance. And then God's Word will make you ready for what comes your way every single day. If you just be meek. You know, the other day I prayed before I went out the house, which I lots of times do. God just sent me somebody to witness to. And at 2:45 in my office, somebody made an appointment with me I didn't know, and I was sharing Christ with that man. Is that not amazing? And let me tell you what the Word of God will do now. If you pray for God to do something in your life, He'll equip you to do it. I remember when Dad used to take us fishing as little children. Dad wanted to be on the pond at daybreak. That's tough when you got three little kids. And I want you to know, the night before, he was out in the garage. All three of us had cane poles. You know what he was doing? He was out checking the line. He wanted to make sure the lines on all those poles were not dry rotted. He made sure he had a cork. I don't mean plastic. I mean real cork. And he had the little lead on there and the little brim hooks, because that's where we were going to be fishing, is off the dock. And Dad had one Zebco 33. He was out testing the tension. Sometimes he'd be out there putting a brand new line on it. Dad had one main lure called a frog. He caught more bass with that frog than you can ever believe, just from the bank. So he'd get us out there. And then Mom and Dad had a picnic basket. And boy, you'd have thought we were having fried chicken, apple fried pies, and a lot of other good things to eat, wouldn't you? Well, we didn't know. We just little kids. They told us to go back, get in the 1959 Plymouth, get in the back seat, and shut up till we get to where we're going. Then Dad had a metal water thermos about this big around. It was pink. He loaded that up with ice and water. We'd hit that pond at daybreak. He put us on a brim bed. But he could never fish because he was always taking our fish off. But it got lunchtime. Buying the sausages. And you know what a real contest is? When they open the buying a sausage, and the first one that can get the one out of the middle without disturbing the rest of them around the side. You the stud muffin there. And then sometimes we were low on buying sausages, and they brought Spam. We called them soda crackers. Nasty. I mean, I don't even think catfish would have bit that if we'd have put it on our hooks. And so we had that. And sometimes if they were low on that, Mama would bring some treat meat. And I know that's a delicacy to a lot of people now. But I don't care if another piece of treat meat ever hits my little mouth. That's just nasty stuff. You know, you've already been using your fingers to bait your hook with Louisiana pinks, and now you're eating Spam. There's just not a whole lot of distance. And so I want you to know Daddy was prepared. Daddy also always brought the net. Daddy always had a fish basket made out of hardware cloth about that big. And he stuck his fish in there and put them in the water so that the terrapins wouldn't eat the tails off the fish. We call those crunchies at my house. They fried the brim to get to eat the tail. That's crunchy. I want you to know Dad was always prepared when we went fishing. But I want you to know, if you get in God's Word and you humble yourself before Him, every situation in which you find yourself, where you have an opportunity to answer somebody concerning your faith or some crisis they're going through or some witnessing situation, if you'll humbly accept the Word of God, He's got you fully equipped to take care of that situation. Third thing I want you to write down is this quickly. Welcome the Word of God with a response. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Another translation, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Now the man who hears this book, notice what he says, and does not do what it says is a fool. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, when he taught about the man who heard his sayings, and he said, the man who hears my sayings and does them not is likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And you know, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, and you hear the gospel here this morning and you choose to say no to Jesus Christ, you walk out of here, according to the Word of God, as a foolish person. Jesus said, if you're here and you're a Christian, And God shows you areas of your life that need to be straightened out, and you don't do that, He says you are foolish. If God speaks to you today about attitudes in your life that are wrong and you don't correct them, He says you're foolish. He says you're foolish to live one single minute after God has spoken to you without responding and doing what He said. You know, the people that come to church Sunday after Sunday, they're so faithful, and they've heard the Spirit-filled life preached upon. But if you sat down with them one-on-one, they couldn't tell you what the Spirit-filled life really is. There are a lot of people that come to church over and over again. They hear sermons about being committed, about being faithful, but they don't do it. You have people that come and hear sermons, they go to conferences, they go to Bible studies, and they hear and they hear and they hear, and they never do. One thing that you'll always hear from this pulpit and from our Sunday school classes, and then on Sunday nights, you're going to hear the Word of God. The Word of God to feed your soul. But sometimes we get so fat from all that we hear, it's time we stop feeding for a while and start doing something. And notice what he says a little bit further. He uses the word work in this passage. Those who do the work. People are saved and baptized. The reason why people are saved, somebody did some work. They shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Every time you come to this church and you go to a Sunday school class, somebody did some work. They prepared a lesson for you. They're spoon feeding you. But then he goes on in this passage and he says, those who are not doers, who are just hearers, look at verse 23 and 4. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man beholding his natural face. And that's the only face that you've got and I've got. It's that natural face. And you know there's nothing you can do about it. Now, he says, he that beholds himself and goes his way straightway and forgets what manner of man he was. Now look at that word behold there. That word behold there means a casual glance. Just look, go the other way. Lots of times Delaney and I'll be talking at home, just casual conversation. She said, who'd you see at such and such event? And I said, oh, I saw so-and-so. Well, what were they wearing today? I said, I don't have any idea. I can work in a separate office from my secretary. She's in and out. And Lane can say, well, what was Helen wearing today? I said, I don't have any idea. I'm a neck-up person. And the other thing, I'm just glancing. I'm just beholding. I'm not recording. I don't have a photographic memory. And here's what he said. A lot of people just glance at the Word of God. I'm reading through the Bible. I'm glancing at that. I'm rapid fire three chapters a day so I can get all the way to the end. And you have no idea what you've read. And look what he says in verse 23. He's talking about beholding in a mirror, a casual glance. He calls the Word of God the perfect. He calls it the perfect law of God. That's our mirror. When I get up in the morning, I'm just thankful I still got hair. And if I sleep on my right side, when I get up in the morning, this whole thing is standing just like this. Delaney, she laughs. And you know it's just best before I go to the table to eat breakfast if I hit it with a brush. Don't you love those mornings when you got static electricity? And there's some kind of shampoo we got. Not shampoo, it's some kind of hairspray we have. It comes in a fire extinguisher. And if you'll hit it there two or three times and hit a brush to it, it'll just start, woo, 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 and just lay down. I mean, it puts it down in a hurry. But you know, it's just best if in the morning when you're getting dressed, guys and ladies, that you don't just take a casual glance in the mirror. You do everybody else around you at work or at school a favor if you just repair some of the divots that have been put there from sleep. Y'all all agree with that, amen? You know, I've walked over to Delaney's vanity a couple of times, a couple of thousand. She's got some mirrors over there that are about 200 magnification. You know, I think I'm looking pretty good, you know, with what I got to work with. I understand that. I'm looking forward to that glorified, resurrected, cosmetic body. But you know something I found out? There's no hair will grow up here. But when I go look at one of those magnification mirrors, I got hair sticking out my ears all over here. And occasionally, right off the end of my forehead, there'll be two or three blonde hairs about 3 inches long. And I'm thinking, where'd that come from? I've been looking in my mirror. And so, you know, I start repairing. And Delaney said, now look, said, don't worry about this magnified mirror. I said, nobody can really see that with the naked eye, except when, you know, you're looking in that magnified mirror. So I got to thinking, why do we have a magnified mirror? Well, we didn't have a magnified mirror. You couldn't see my ears because of all the hair growing out over them all the time. And that's what he's talking about. Don't go to just a regular mirror there and just take a casual glance. He says, behold. He says you need to look at the details. Verse 25, he says, look into the perfect law of liberty. It'll show your natural face just like it is. It'll be truer than a mirror. And you'll see yourself like you really are. A careful examination. And then secondly, there's the immediate application of the word. Look into it, read it, scrutinize it, and then respond. There's a man named Patrick Morley. He's been working four decades with men's ministry. And here's what he said, along with some of his colleagues. Quote, we have never known a single man whose life has changed in any significant way apart from the regular study of the Word of God. When you get saved, you start going through the sanctification process as the Lord molds you to become more like Him. But there's not going to be a transformation there unless we have a steady diet of the Word. Repentant heart, we receive it. We welcome that word. And notice here that we're to take action with the word. There's a man named Lecrae. He's a two-time Grammy-winning rap artist. The only reason I'm reporting about a rap artist is because he suffered abuse as a child. He got lost in drugs and alcohol and spent time in rehab, was part of an abortion. He attempted suicide, but when he had nowhere to turn, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. Now he boldly tells about his changed life. He wrote a book several years ago in 2016 called Transformed. Listen to what he said. The story of one man's journey to faith and freedom. And here's the theme. If you live for people's acceptance, you'll die from their rejection. His testimony is a lesson about how we must all learn that our acceptance and our identity may only be found in Christ. Now, why did I share that story? You know why most of us don't look into the mirror, the law of God, and receive it with a repentant heart, receptive spirit, and to do what it says? Because we think we're going to be rejected by our peers. Think about it. Some of us dress the way we dress because we're afraid we're going to be rejected by our peers. Is that right? Some of us drive a certain kind of car because we're afraid we're going to be rejected by our peers. And the problem is, we as Christians in America have bought into the lifestyle of our society and this new tolerance and political correctness. We're afraid that if our lives are a light shining on a hill, we won't be accepted by our peers. Very simple. The Bible says that Christian people are to be doers of the word and not casual hearers. And I don't know about you, I don't care if some people reject me. I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to be abrasive. But I want the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to mold me to be more like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What about you? You want to stand here in this building and also in the Family Life Center?